Luke chapter 11, verses 29 to 36. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah was assigned to the Ninevites, so also will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. And now something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repent at the preaching of Jonah. And now something greater than Jonah is here. No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden, or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it then that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Carrie, for reading for us, and a good evening, church. It's good to open God's word again with you. Let's pray before. Father God, we pray that as we come to your word, help us to see the wisdom in it. Help us to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus. Help us to receive with obedience and submission. And help me to be faithful and clear with your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, recently, before I sleep every night, I don't quite need to set an alarm clock for the next morning. Because my son wakes up quite in a set time, around 7 to 8, he wakes up every morning, and he'll make sure that we know that he's awake. Make sure, like on the good days, he will have quite a loud conversation with himself that we can hear. And on a bad day, he'll be screaming, he'll be crying, and telling us, "Hey, I'm awake. Come and help me up." But no matter how loud, how miserable his cry is, there will always be one thing that before I go into his room, there will always be one thing that I do before coming to him, before helping him out. That's to pick up my glasses and wear it. Because without my glasses, I'm basically useless. Without my glasses, I couldn't change his diaper. Without my glasses, I can't fit him water. I would just poke the water bottle up to his nose. I can't make him formula to drink. I can't find his breakfast in the fridge. Without my glasses, I can't see much, and I'm pretty useless for him. Seeing, being able to see, is very important to us. Our eyes are very important. And this is what Jesus is teaching his disciples in our passage today. Not so much about our physical eyesight, but more our spiritual eyesight. And so we are currently in our Luke sermon series, Following Jesus. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and on the journey, he's along the way teaching his disciples, teaching them about Christ. What does it mean to be Christ? What does it mean to be following Christ? What does it mean to be his disciples? And in our passage today, discipleship is about seeing. It's about our spiritual sight. And so we'll divide our sermon into four parts. First, good eyes, bad eyes. The sign of Jonah, second point. Third point, the Queen of the South. And finally, the one greater. And so we'll work our way back from the later bit, from verses 33 first, with the principle, and then we'll work our way backwards to Jonah and to the queen. So in verse 33 to 36, Jesus gives us a warning about the importance of our eyes, the importance of giving light to our bodies, our whole lives. And so in verse 34, Jesus said, "Your eye is the lamp of your whole body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness." Or just like a lamp is supposed to be put up, to be put on a ceiling, to be put on a stand, so that it can give light to the whole room, our eyes have the same function to give light to the whole body. Our eyes, when our eyes can see, determines whether our body is in light. If our eyes cannot see, our body will be in darkness. And so Jesus is saying, if our eyes are good, then our body will be in light, will be good. Our whole lives will be good. If our eyes are in darkness, it will have a dramatic effect on our Christian walk. We will not be able to see the reality. When I was in my uni days, we have really long holidays, like 4 months for summer holidays. And so a few friends are with Winnie and some uni friends. We on our holidays, we sometimes go to book an Airbnb, book a nice house, and spend a few days in that house with one another. Just if there's a pool, enjoy the pool, eating, playing with one another. And one of the games that we play is hide and seek. Not just the normal hide and seek, but hide and seek in darkness. So this is rural Australia. It's really dark outside at night. And we'll pull the blinds, we will turn off all the lights, we'll even turn off all the appliances that has a light source. And so the whole living room will be pitch dark. Like, your hands will be in front of your face, you can't see your hands. That kind of darkness. And so we will play hide and seek in that kind of darkness. And so, like, normal hide and seek, everyone will find a spot, the seeker will, after a while, come and find us. And the fun part is, the seeker, because in the darkness, can even be like a few inches to you. Like, their hands will be like, you will feel the hands next to you, they are swinging and reaching, but they don't know you are here. They will just miss you. They'll be so close, and then they'll walk away. Without light, the seeker can be right before me, but fail to find me, fail to find those who are hiding. I think this is Jesus' warning to his disciples, to us. If our eyes are in darkness, if our eyes are no good, our whole body, our whole lives will be in darkness. We'll be in trouble. We'll miss the truth just like we miss the person who we're hiding. But the reality can be right before us, staring us in our face, but we'll fail to recognize it. Right, this is Jesus' point at the start. If having light is so important to our eyes, if spiritual seeing is so important, the question for us is, what does it mean to be able to spiritually see? What's the reality that we're supposed to see with our spiritual eyes? And so I think the next two examples Mark recorded for us kind of shows us what does seeing, spiritual seeing, mean. And so the first example comes from Jonah in verse 29. As the crowds increased, Jesus said, "This is a wicked generation. It asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." Well, two things in this verse, verse 29. First, the reality is that this is a wicked generation. We are not in a perfect, happily ever after world. Our world is full of problems, and we have to see the wickedness of our world. And the second thing we have to see is a sign of Jonah. Jesus says, "To the wicked generation, no other sign will be given but the sign of Jonah." So what is this sign of Jonah about? Jonah, if you know the story, he's famous for being swallowed by this big giant fish, and he lived in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, and then at the end, he got vomited out. I don't think the sign of Jonah is talking about the fish, but I think it's the next chapter, about chapter 3 of Jonah, when it talks about the repentance of Nineveh, this big city. So in Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 to 6, After Jonah, he has been sent to this city to proclaim repentance to them, telling them in 40 days, God will send destruction to your city. Repent now. In verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. The sign of Jonah is about this city, the whole city's repentance, the repentance of the Ninevites. They heard the message from Jonah, they believed God, and they turned from their evil ways. They called urgently on God, and God relented and did not send destruction to the city. Their repentance is the miraculous sign that Jesus was pointing to. This is a sign of Jonah, that the whole city repented. And repentance is the only sign for a wicked generation. It's the only sign a wicked generation would need. Well, back to the question, what does our eyes having light mean? What reality are we supposed to see with our healthy spiritual eyes? The sign of Jonah teaches us that we are to see the condition of our world. We are a wicked generation. And the only appropriate response is to repent. Like the Ninevites, respond with repentance. Well, as a generation, do we see repentance is the only way to our problem? Unfortunately, I think our natural tendency would not be responding with repentance. I don't think a problem comes like with the first bit. I think most of us would agree that, the world isn't perfect. There's problems in our world. And to some of us, there's loads of problems in our world. And so most of us, I think, would agree with Jesus' point on this is a wicked generation. I think what's blinding us is more what's causing our eyes to not be able to see, to be in darkness, is more our tendency to believe that, okay, this is a wicked generation, but I'm generally a good person. The problem is outside. The problem is others. It's caused by the environment, the institution, the culture. It's not me. It's them. We have a tendency to blame others. It's the toxic work culture that I'm in. And so my actions, although it doesn't quite align with my Christian identity, well, it's just a self-defense. I'm just protecting myself. Or it's only that one time that it got the better of me. Normally, I don't behave like that. Normally, I'm a pretty good person. I know Jesus teaches me to love this person, but to be honest, he's really hard to love. He's awkward, and no one likes him. So I think my lack of love is more his problem than mine. Well, it's only this current life stage that I'm overwhelmed by busyness and extra responsibilities. It will get better, and I'll go back to the normal routines. It's not a big problem. We tend to have this unrealistic optimism on ourselves. We tend to think that we are the victim. We are not the problem. We have this tendency to be blinded from the reality, to be blinded to have light in our eyes, and to fail to see that actually I'm the problem. I myself, I'm part of this wicked generation, and hence my need to repent. To have good spiritual eyes, first, it's about seeing we are part of this wicked generation. We ourselves part of this problem. And the only response, the only appropriate response is like the Ninevites, repent. Repent before God. The second example that Mark gave us about spiritual seeing concerns the Queen of the South, or the Queen of Sheba. And so in our passage today, in verse 31, it says, A queen of the south will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom. Well, what has the queen of the south done? In 1 Kings, we're told that she came from this Gentile land, from Sheba. And she came to test Solomon and test his wisdom with hard questions. And when she saw all the wisdom of Solomon, she was overwhelmed and said to Solomon, in chapter 10, verse 7 in 1 Kings, the queen said, "I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes." And verse 9, "Praise be to the Lord your God because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel. He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." Having spiritual eyes is about that 180-degree turn like the queen of the south. From doubting, intending to test him, to question him with difficult questions, to being overwhelmed by the wisdom that God has given to Solomon, to recognize that indeed this is the wisdom of God, to praising the Lord God, and then acknowledging that God's eternal love to his people. Having spiritual eyes is about not relying on herself, her wealth, and so in 1 Kings it talks about her wealth as the great caravan, the camels, the spices, the large quantity of gold, the precious stones that she brought. Having spiritual eyes is about not relying in the face of God's wisdom, not relying on her power as the queen, her power to have so many people under her, serving her. Having spiritual eyes is to humble ourselves before God. Having spiritual eyes is to realize that as human, nothing is ultimately dependable for us. Nothing but God himself. Well, it's like Queen Elizabeth. Do you know that at her coronation, she was given more than 29 titles? Well, the words are super small. Not intended you to see them, but to help you to see that there's loads of titles that she has. To give you a few examples, one of her titles, Duke of Lancaster, Sovereign of the Most Honorable Order of Bath, Sovereign of the Imperial Service Order, Sovereign of the Order of Merit, Sovereign of the Royal Victorian Order, Her Majesty Elizabeth II, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, of Ireland, and British dominions beyond the seas, Queen, Baroness Greenridge. There's a few, like 29 of them, loads of impressive titles. But thank God for her faith. Her faith means that even though with all these impressive titles, she's still under Christ. She still calls our Lord Jesus her Lord. And she still places herself under our Lord Jesus, who is far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given. Jesus is her Lord. Well, that's how Queen Elizabeth shows her humility. And what does it mean for us? I think it means it really doesn't matter at this very moment where we are at in our spiritual journey. Whether we are exploring faith, whether we have more questions than answers to Christianity, to the gospel, whether we are full of doubts in our Christian journey. The Queen of the South, originally, her intent was to test Solomon, test God's wisdom with difficult questions, with her own human questions. And she changed. After seeing God's wisdom, she turned. And at this very moment, we might think that, well, Christianity, it is just another way for men to manipulate others. It's just another man-made religion. It's just there for the weak, to give comfort to them, to give some hope to them. It's just a way for our society to function, to encourage people to do good works just like all the other religions. Well, that might be our thinking now. But what matters is not what we think, but what matters is when we are in the face of God's wisdom, in the face of the gospel, in the face of Jesus and his word, what's our attitude towards him? Well-crafted argument, big words that intended to just intimidate others, are nothing but a sign of arrogance. Reliance on our own achievements, our wealth, our reputation, our social status, how people see us, how people admire us, is nothing but a sign of human arrogance. When we come before the wisdom of God, the only right response is to humble ourselves, to acknowledge how good and how wise our God is, and to praise him and to treat him as God, as our God. Recognizing the wisdom of God usually takes quite some time, and it is a continuous process throughout our Christian journey. After our initial recognition, it still takes time. All Christians will continue to go on this journey to recognize more in different areas of life the wisdom of God. I think what's important is that what's important is not how much we know, or how much we can articulate, but our attitude in the face of God's wisdom, that we are willing to humble ourselves to acknowledge that, yeah, God is above us. And so this is the second sign of having spiritual eyes, the response to humility with humility before God, to imitate the example of the Queen of the South, to recognize God's wisdom, to marvel at it, to praise God for it. Eyesight is important. Without good eyesight, it will pose all sorts of problems to our lives. And our passage today, Jesus is telling us that spiritual eyesight is even more important. Without good spiritual eyesight, our whole body, our whole life, will be full of darkness. And what does having good spiritual eyesight mean? It means repentance. It means humility before God. Well, Jesus has given us these two examples, Jonah and the Queen of the South, as an example for what spiritual eyesight looks like. But at the end of his teaching, he points to something else. He points to one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon. He points to himself. Why do we need Jesus? If we already have the examples of Jonah and the queen with their repentance, Ninevite's repentance and the queen's humility, why do we need Jesus? I think because ultimately, Jonah, his example, and the queen's example cannot give ultimate solution, salvation to us. Do you know that the city Nineveh is not only mentioned in the book of Jonah, but also later with Nahum, Prophet Nahum. And so after Jonah's proclamation of God's judgment message, the Ninevites repented for a while. They were saved for a time, but their repentance didn't last long. Roughly after 100 years, the Ninevites went back to their old ways of doing things, of living. And this time, through the prophet Nahum, God proclaimed judgment over the city. And in 50 years' time, Nineveh was destroyed. Nineveh fell. The capital of the Assyrian Empire destroyed by Persians and Babylonians. The message of Jonah ultimately didn't bring ultimate change to the city of Nineveh, to the Ninevites. The message postponed Nineveh's destruction, but didn't ultimately save them. Ultimately, the city was destroyed. It's the same for the Queen of Sheba. She responded favorably towards the wisdom of God, towards Solomon. She showed humility, and she praised the Lord for what he has done for the justice and the righteousness among the Israelites. Great things, But notice 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 9. The queen said to Solomon, "Praise be to the Lord, your God." Solomon, your God, not my God. At the end, well, we don't know later on what happened, but at least in this passage, in 1 Kings chapter 10, the queen didn't have a personal relationship with God himself. God is still not her God. God is just Solomon's God. She doesn't treat God as her own God, her own personal God. And church, this is why recognizing there's one greater than Jonah, one greater than Solomon is important. Ultimately, only Jesus can give us lasting light for our eyes to see. Only Jesus can allow us to constantly repent and come back to him and be forgiven. Only in Jesus that we can have the confidence, the assurance that our past, present, future sin can be forgiven because of what Christ has done on the cross. Only in Jesus can we have a personal relationship with God our Father. Only with Jesus that we can call our Father, our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly God, our Father, our Abba Father. Our spiritual eyes are important. What we see determines what our life looks like. If we can't quite see with our spiritual eyes, then our body will be full of darkness. And so, church, let's fix our eyes on Jesus, who brings true repentance and true humility. Fix our eyes on Jesus so that we can walk in light and not in darkness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus, that in him we can see with light. We can walk in light. And Father, please help us to fix our eyes on our Lord Jesus, to see he is the ultimate solution to this wicked generation, to see that only true repentance is only in him, to see that true humility is only in him. Help us to hold on to our Lord Jesus and see through him, through everything in our world through Jesus. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.